You may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our thoughts comes from our gospel reading we just considered, where Jesus teaches us that he is the bread of life. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. Making bread is hard work. Well, at least it used to be. You can imagine the challenges facing a first century audience when it comes to simply feeding your family. Think of everything that they had to put into it, the audience to whom Jesus is speaking, from sowing the wheat seed by hand, to facing the uncertainty of the climate, to harvesting the stalks, threshing the grain, collecting the grain, grinding the grain, making flour, making dough, baking the dough, and finally having that loaf of bread sitting on your table. It was no wonder they were pursuing him. No wonder they, having seen Jesus just feed over 5,000 people at one time, they would want him to stick around. What so many didn't realize, however, was that it was more than a pursuit of bread. This was a pursuit of God. We continue our series today in John chapter 6, where Jesus trains our taste buds to recognize what truly satisfies. And we'll consider three examples, three different types of thinking, to show us that the hunger of this world will never satisfy. We'll consider the industrialist within us, that pursuit inside of us, that through automation and innovation, we can have everything we want or need. We'll consider the enthusiast within us, the inner feelings and desire and pursuit of what feels good. And then finally, we'll consider the idealist within us, the dreamer that imagines somehow by reforming society, we will be satisfied. We pray that in these different ways, God will train our taste buds to taste what is truly good, to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's estimated that in 1870, there were over 70% of the American population were farmers. Today, it's less than 1%. What happened? Many would point to the Industrial Revolution. It used to be that that loaf of bread that sits on your table for which you give thanks came out of your own oven, out of your own field, out of your own hands. You give thanks for that as it's the result of hard work that the Lord has blessed. Today, you can find that loaf of bread out of a fast food window that's come out of your credit account, that's come out of a commercial industry. America prides itself on the advancement of technology, innovations, automation. It prides itself on the idea that we can make work easier and produce more. But there's something we should be aware of. There's an industrialist within us, someone who thinks that through enough innovation, we can taste satisfaction. And so our first figure arises, the industrialist within us. That was just the reason they were seeking Jesus. Jesus was an industry all his own. He had provided automation at the highest efficiency. What would take a whole harvest season to do, he had done with just one prayer. But they wonder, how did he get there? How can they keep him there? How can they know what to predict next? Jesus was a living innovation that would change the world, and so they want to know, how did you get here? When I talk about the industrialists, I'm not talking about political or economic theory. I'm talking about a theological theory. I'm talking about the endless pursuit of something easier, something better than what God has given us. The idea that we can keep Jesus for our purposes, when we want it and how we want it. So the industrialist in us imagines with enough ingenuity, long hours in the office, enough investors and inventors, we can achieve what only God can give. Satisfaction. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." The surprising thing about the Industrial Revolution was rather than cutting down on work hours, it actually required more workforce to be involved. More office hours, more oversight, more regulations, testing, and troubleshooting, because there was always room for improvement, and there always will be. It will never truly satisfy us. The pursuit of God on our terms goes on forever. So the crowd will be hungry again. And they seek Jesus not because they saw the sign, but because they were temporarily satisfied. A sign always points to something bigger and better. When Jesus says that the loaves were a sign, it was because it was pointing to something better. Every blessing God gives us in this world, whether it's the clothes you wear, or the food you eat, or the innovations that make your employment possible, it's all a sign of something better that comes from above. The sign was pointing to Jesus. And this is what puts to death the industrialist within us, because it reminds us that we're at the feet of him who walks on water. That's how he got there, after all, and he never told the crowds. He walked on water. We're at the feet of God, who removes the idea that we're in control, and all that remains in the end is Jesus, the food that has come down from heaven, sealed by God as the satisfaction we truly need. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As the world we live in advances, we know it's more than just the pursuit of industry. It's also the pursuit of pleasure. More often, progress is made not because of what is truly good for everyone, but because of what feels good now. This is the idea that our taste buds are longing for, the sweetness. And we're taught to avoid the bitter tastes, to get away from suffering. We have no interest in faith. And this is where the enthusiast in us arises. Now, when I say the word enthusiasm, I'm not talking about what you'll see at your local high school pep rally. The word literally means God within. En means within. Enthusiasm comes from theos, meaning God. And it's the idea that it's all about feelings, what feels good. It's the enthusiast within that says, what must we do to do the work of God? The crowds were pursuing God for something that felt good, but this was never the way God intended to be found. They're looking to see where they can get this food that endures forever. What will it take to make our lives better? To improve our experience, to replicate what Jesus is doing in our lives. We're longing for just another taste. An alcoholic once told me that an addiction is like an itch that you want to scratch. You want to scratch it so bad, and yet when you do, it only itches more. The more you scratch it, the more you itch it. And an addict will never be satisfied. So our enthusiasm within gets aroused by what feels good, and we want to scratch it. We want to escape the bitterness for something that feels sweeter, whether it's alcohol or narcotics or gambling, or whether it's simply gossip or lust or competition or self-praise or a higher spiritual experience. It's an itch that we long to keep scratching. So they're looking for a sign that God will give us something sweeter, something more tangible. Manna from heaven is what they call for, just like Moses in the wilderness, that they would have that bread there so easily, right at their fingertips, whenever they need it. But Moses did not give them the bread. God did. And it still didn't satisfy. They still complained later on when they started realizing this is all we're going to get every day, the same thing. They complained again. We need to taste the bitterness before we can taste the goodness. This is what puts to death the enthusiasts in us. When we taste the bitterness of suffering, the bitterness of Christ. For it was Christ who went into the most bitter end of all. When he went to the cross, Jesus was becoming the bitterness of our sinful pursuits, feeling not what felt good, but what truly was the agony of hell. He tasted death for everyone. And that is the substance. It's more than the sign. Jesus is the bread of life. He has given himself to satisfy not just us, but God. To satisfy God in every way. What God expects out of us that we could never live up to. To satisfy what God deserves to give us. And yet he chooses not to. Life in its fullness is in Jesus, who has given himself for the life of the world. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We've seen the enthusiasts, we've seen the industrialists, and now let's talk about the idealist. Whether it's a capitalist free market or a socialist regulated government, the world is always pursuing the ideal. Something better. A society where there are no problems, where there is no suffering. If this or that could be changed, we think things could be better. The problem is what people don't realize is they're not pursuing a social idea. They're pursuing heaven. And they don't realize always what really needs to change before this will be realized. This is where the idealist arises in our lives. They had tasted the ideal. They wanted something better from Jesus. A world where there's no more hunger. A world where there's no more suffering. No discord. Where Jesus is their king. So they had thought they had found him. The best leader we could ever have to bring us the best society we could ever hope for. The sort of society that would free them from the Roman government, a messianic kingdom on earth. And they say, Lord, give us this bread always. Creating a utopian society would be great, wouldn't it? No more hunger, no more suffering, no more war, no more disease. Lord, give us this bread always is what we pray. But they're wrong to think that this ideal will be in terms of something we can change in this world. Because what needs to change is everything. The change was right in front of them. I am the bread of life. I am the one who changes everything. I am the ideal that God intends for the whole world. I am the end of hunger.
I am the end of drought. I am the end of sorrow. I am the end of sickness. I am the end of death. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is God's creative work, and we can't take it away from him. It's God's work to recreate this world, and he does it in Jesus. Not in the pursuit of social programs or political candidates or protest lines. He does it on the cross and in the resurrection and in the word and in the sacrament. We come to church here, not out there, because we come burdened. We come missing the ideal in our lives and in the world, seeking righteousness, seeking justice, seeking truth. Lord, give us this bread always. And he does. He dies on the cross together with all the false notions that it's going to be up to us to fix everything. And he rises from the dead with a new idea, a new creation, the hope of your resurrection and eternity. This is what satisfies us at last. But it doesn't mean you need to turn into a gloomy pessimist that just puts his head in the sand. Instead, this is the greatest activist program ever, because it places you into God's work of thanksgiving, to join him by becoming loaves in your life, by becoming a sign of something better, a sign of God's recreation, a sign of a world where there is no hunger, where there is no suffering, and yet always by faith and not by sight. In parenting at home, in your labor at work, in your citizenship, in the classrooms, in your relationships with friends and neighbors, this is where God makes you into a sign, bread from heaven that can only be found in Jesus. Yes, making bread is hard work. And I think that's good. God gives us this curse to remind us of what is truly good. We shouldn't imagine that we can automate our way out of this life by the industrialist within. We shouldn't imagine we can always find what feels good in this life by the enthusiast within. And we shouldn't imagine we can change this world into perfection by the idealist within. Instead, we just taste what God has given us. We taste it in Christ and give thanks. Then you'll pursue God in a way that truly satisfies, in his word. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.